Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the DGDG.com studios in downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Wake up. Good morning. Matt Kolsky, Joe Shasky. Ski team, got to hit the slopes early or you don't get the fresh powder.
I like that.
Fresh powder show? That sounds like we're sending a different message.
We've been up all night.
Practically, I'm not good at going to sleep early, so here I am on short sleep, ready to rock. I'm fired up. I'm a little wired. My emotions are raw. I just started randomly crying like three times this morning on the way to work, just listening to music, you know?
Nice.
Yeah, I'm like an overtired small child right now.
It's the emo hour here on 95.7 The Game.
No, I'm trying to channel it into ridiculous energy instead. Let me know how I'm doing throughout the course of the day. It's an exciting time. Baseball's back. That week of the All-Star break is so long.
Horrible.
My God.
I feel like we did 50 shows.
Yeah, and all about the same. We're either talking about the same stuff or dumb stuff.
Don't tell them how the sausage is made.
There is no in between at this time of year. It's either the same baseball conversation for that one week or, you know, best burrito in the Bay Area.
Oh, that way. We stretch that segment out.
We got real baseball to talk about now, though. I even took some notes on last night's game because I was like, I'm so excited to have new topics. Here's some of the notes I took. You're a Giants fan. Is Derek Rodriguez your best pitcher?
I think so. I think right now he is. I think over the last five starts, he's got like a 1.75 ERA.
And phenomenal.
I'm stealing that from Carey Crowley. I mean, he broke down all the numbers. But, I mean, he's been brilliant. Last night, 6 1/3, gets you into the seventh against the hot, red-hot A's team. I don't care if there was a break. That team is red hot, and it's the way he's pitching. He's so calm. I'm going to sound crazy when I say this.
You sound crazy all the time. Don't worry about it.
But the fastball changeup combination and the way that he's able to deliver it with two strikes and then also to start guys off with the changeup for a strike and guys are way out in front, it reminds me of Lincecum. Now, I'm not saying he's Lincecum, but I'm saying the combination of the two. He really has guys out front, and it's such a deceptive pitch. When you go from 96 to 85, 86, and it's dropping in the zone, it's a devastating put-away
pitch.
And then
he goes all the way to 74 with that curve. And
good knowledge.
You know, it was interesting watching. I think I watched. Do we have a nickname for him?
D-Rod.
Yeah, I don't like that. So I first of all.
Kid.
Well, he's got some pudge in him.
Yeah.
Physically, and he's got that pudge glare. That glare that you saw in the batter's box where you were like, I can't tell if he's about to fall asleep or if he's really angry. the eyes look a lot like his dad. Mm-hmm. And he kind of has a little bit of a mean face when he's staring into the, to the catcher. So that whole business is, I'm into it. But physically, he's got a little of his dad in him. You see, like, how do I put this delicately? He's got a strong base.
Well, and the shoulders.
Derek Rodriguez. But he's thicker than you initially. You look at him and he kind of, the initial impression is tall, thin guy.
Yeah.
But when you see him on the mound, especially from the TV view from behind, he's got a little pudge in him. He's thick. He's wide. And he also, the stuff is nice, as you said. It's the speed difference that's really stands
maturity.
Out.
That's where the maturity is.
But it's not. You know, the Lincecum comparison fails on the stuff side because
exactly.
He doesn't have that kind of stuff. He's using it, but he's a little more Matt Cain than Lincecum in terms of style.
Yes, but I would say like it's in between the ears. It's how he conducts himself. He's so comfortable. You could tell this guy grew up in clubhouses around the league. You could tell that he feels he belongs.
That's another note I took, is he has that thing that we see from a lot of ex-players' kids, which is, I am at home here.
Yep.
Like, I'm perfectly comfortable in this environment. I grew up in this environment. None of the stuff going on around it bothers me. I'm not distracted by any of the nonsense. This is just what life is, you know? And I think there's, as weird as it probably must be to grow up the kid of a professional, famous professional athlete, Hall of Fame athlete in this case, it gets you used to some things, I bet. And he really does seem comfortable out there. And like you said, this is a really good A's lineup. It's been really good all year long. And he just pitched all day. He's a pitcher, not a thrower. And it's an exciting thing to watch. I think I'm still taking Bumgarner. Comes down to it. And I'm sure you would too.
Yeah. But in this window, he's been brilliant.
He has been phenomenal. And it's another... take the good with the bad. Another situation that makes you question the Giants' ability to scout their own system, although I guess Rodriguez comes from another one.
Yeah, so he was in the Twins organization.
Yeah.
They didn't bring him up, and I guess he got a fresh start with the Giants. I bash the Giants' front office left and right for a lot of the major money allocation decisions.
Yeah, this one's a pretty good find.
Really good find. This, and then, you know, the Tony Watson pickup.
Well,
Will
that
Smith
didn't take
pickup.
A genius. Will Smith was savvy. Tony Watson was a clear.
But he sat there for a long time. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And you pounced
no,
on
No, agreed.
It.
You,
and then
they
Pablo.
Did it. You got to do it, and they did it. But Tony Watson was an easy decision, I think. It's the Pablo deal.
Unreal.
The Alan Hansen pickup.
The guts to play them.
The Derek Rodriguez pickup. Yeah. They've done some good things. You got to give the Giants front office some credit for some of the good things they've done.
How about Ryder Jones last night?
I don't know if that's one of the good things, but that was a hell of a swing.
That's another
one of my notes. Hell of a pretty swing from Ryder Jones. He cut right through the... It was both quick and somehow like that long arcing lefty swing you
yeah.
like to see from a power hitter.
Yeah.
That was a heck of a swing, and it wasn't a bad pitch.
I pretty much wrote him off. Last year, 53
games. He
was
awful.
He was terrible. Yeah. He was 173. You know, the guy, I think he took 7 games to get his first hit last year.
Yeah, I believe they said last night he was 0 for 17 to start his major league career last season.
Most guys don't rebound from things like that. You get 53 games in the big leagues, you
hit under 200.
Right? And you're not a top-tier prospect per se, and you don't have the sexy name or cachet or
although
money.
He was a second-round pick.
Yeah, but we've kind of disregarded him. No? And I slept on him. No. Hey, was it a one-night thing? Was it a John Patterson in 1994 where he comes up, hits a big home run, and then we never see him again? Who knows? But
he's probably
night,
gone today. I don't know if that's official
belt
yet,
thing.
But Belt should. They said last night Belt's expected back.
So then let's have this conversation now. Pablo, I know he's going to go back to the bench. And I know Longoria, they need his power bat in the lineup. But having Pablo bat from the left-hand side... How do you work him into the lineup?
Well,
am I being ridiculous?
No. Here's the problem. What is Pablo actually doing this year? I mean, let's pull up the stats.
Versus lefties, when he's batting right-handed, it's not pretty.
Well, that's awful. But just overall, I think
250s?
Something like that. 256 overall. And hold on, I'll pull up the splits. Because... what I'm getting at here is, yes, Pablo he's contributed at a surprising level, which is great. Against lefties, he's a 151 hitter. Against righties, he's a 292 hitter. So he has really consistently been good against right-handed pitching. But I guess what I'm saying is, what you really need is the guys who are supposed to be the starters to perform at the level you hoped they'd perform at. Because... if you really need to find at-bats for Pablo Sandoval, it means the other guys you have are not doing what you want them to do.
I agree with that, but the problem is Longoria...
Can he play the outfield?
No. Hey, Bruce Bochy dialed back the 9 positions in one game. No, but Longoria is batting 246, and Pablo has more RBIs, and Longoria only has one more home run than him. And I just feel like the optics, just watching the day in, the day out... Yes, he had a struggle period where I think it was 11 games where he did struggle, but his struggles have been less pronounced as Longoria's. I feel like Longoria was searching for like a month and a half.
Yeah, he was under 200 for a while.
It was bad. And right when he started to get rolling, he got hurt.
Yeah, The crowded infield of the Giants is an odd problem because none of those guys are great.
No.
They don't have a single. Well, Crawford has played great this year, but
made a nice play last night.
The play running to his left.
Yes,
man, he makes that throw about as well as anyone. Although Panda had a hell of a stretch to make that play.
He was a good scoop.
I think that's your answer. You're going to get some at bats at first. You're going to get some at bats at third. When they play AL
platoon-ish
teams, he'll DH here and there.
Yeah,
that's how Pablo's going to get work. And maybe they try him in the outfield. I don't know
where.
Gorky's is slipping a little, maybe in left.
Big hit last night.
Yeah.
Big hit last night.
And he plays great defense, which yes. Pablo definitely would not do. I don't know if you put him in right.
But McCutchen made the second most. I mean,
he made like three sliding catches last night.
Second most putouts of his career.
Yeah. Eight
putouts in right field.
If he'd taken a good route to those balls, I'm not sure he ever would have had to get his pants dirty.
That's the Todd Linden. Let me go left 60 yards and then turn right and make a diving catch. And I'm on SportsCenter.
Oh, what a play. No, but it was a solid night for McCutchen, too.
Yeah.
They talked about how he hit Edwin Jackson, and he went out and hit Edwin Jackson.
I've seen a little criticism of Edwin Jackson from the fan base, the Ace fan base.
They should calm down.
Right? I thought he was pretty darn good last night.
Yeah. The fact that you've gotten what you've gotten out of Edwin Jackson, they haven't scored for him
exactly.
In any of his starts. He's coming off the streets.
Mm-hmm.
You should be thrilled with what you got from Edwin Jackson. I did think last night was a bigger game for the Giants. The series is bigger for the Giants than for the A's, but last night in particular, because that's the matchup that was sort of a chance for a different Giant pitcher to step up. I mean, look, if Madison Bumgarner, no matter what he does today, you're still going to be a Madison Bumgarner fan. You're still going to have faith that he's a capable pitcher, right? The A's could beat him. It's not going to kill. But Derek Rodriguez is still proving himself to you. And to get that win was big. And I think Sunday could be a tough one for the Giants. So if they wanted a chance at a series win, I think they had to get last night.
Agreed. And now I'm seeing these reports being circulated that, Samardzija is going to throw a bullpen and maybe they insert him on Wednesday.
Oh, boy.
And I'm
Let's get
you,
into that next because
that's
I think
wrong.
We are both at a loss. And I'd like to hear, are there any Giants fans out there who want Jeff Samardzija back in the rotation? 888-957-9570, the phone number. Lots of A's topics to get into as well. They may very well be in the middle of pulling off a trade. Bay Area Baseball Talk right here on 95.7 The Game. We are back. Matt Kolsky, Joe Shasky,
Tiger Woods.
Saturday morning ski team. It probably bears mentioning.
Big cat alert.
Tiger's tied for the lead.
I'm so fired up.
That being said, he's like 8 or 9 or 14 holes ahead of the leaders of the tournament. And
he's through 14.
Yeah, we'll see if he can hold this up for another day, but it's exciting.
It's
When's
awesome.
The last time Tiger was tied for the lead on a major Saturday?
It was probably the Masters in 2013, so it's been almost 5 years.
It's a long time.
When he spun a wedge back into the water and then took an illegal drop.
And what are we, 8, 9 years from his last major victory?
This would be 10 years. 08, Torrey Pines, U.S. Open. 10 years, almost to the week. Because it's probably June. It's on Father's Day every year for U.S. Open. That was when he had one leg and he went an 18-hole playoff with Rocco Mediate.
The Rocco Mediate tournament victory was the last one.
On
that's
one
so
knee.
Crazy. You know, by the way.
Sorry, I'm getting real geeky on golf.
No. I mean, I think we should say that more. The last tournament Tiger won, he had a broken knee. So maybe that's part of why he hasn't won since then. Physically, he has struggled a lot over the last decade. So it's good to see him just out there, as you said earlier. And certainly fun when Tiger's in contention. It changes golf entirely.
It changes my timeline. Everyone is talking about it. That's how important it is. He is the needle for golf. And I'm a golf nerd. I'm a golf dork. He is the needle. He brings in everyone.
Good for Tig. That said, we are not going to talk much about Tiger today because we got Bay Bridge Series baseball to talk about. And as far as what we mentioned going into the break, I'm just curious if there is a single Giants fan out there who's interested in more Jeff Samardzija. So anytime during today's program, if you root for the Giants and you want to see more of Jeff Samardzija in a starting role, I'd like to hear from you. 888-957-9570. PenskeAutoSales.com text line is 95795. On the A's side of things, this Juris? Do you know?
Familia?
Anyone got an official pronunciation on that? I was going Juris yesterday, but I believe I heard Vince Catronio say Juris, and I believe Vince knows how to say things properly.
Cornucopia of color combinations.
So I'm taking his word for that. So I'm going to say Juris Familia.
Can we give him a nickname? Like Jerry? When I first read it, that's what I thought it was. I obviously
hey, Jer.
Not literate.
So good old Jerry Familia. How do you feel about that? If you are an A's fan, is that the guy you want? He's a very capable reliever, but he is a reliever.
And he was closing for the Mets.
He's not going to close here.
No, and that's where I'm curious where he slots in. I mean, this is a great addition, I think. This is another guy with a 95-plus fastball, touching 97, 98, downward movement. He's got a weird, like, twinge in his arm when he throws. Like, it's a... I don't know how to explain it, but it's
a little
very,
hitch in his giddy up, if you will.
Yeah, but it's very deceptive, and he has a big leg kick stride. So I think he'd be a really, really solid addition for their bullpen, and it would give Bob Melvin opportunities to play certain matchups. Now, I don't know how he contrasts necessarily with Vino, Trevino, but, I don't know. I think this is a great addition. You can never have enough relievers, Matt, especially down the stretch when you're not getting great starting pitching from your staff and they're not going deep into games. Eventually, you need that bullpen to be versatile and out there. You need to have options for Bob Melvin late in the season. So I think this is a great addition if they can pull this thing off. And I'm curious to see who they give up. I don't know what this guy nets. He's got 17 saves already this year. He's only 28 years old. I don't know about his team control moving forward, but guy's got a career 2.66 ERA, and he's having a solid year this year. 17 saves, 2.88 ERA. He looks good.
Yeah. Yeah. There are some suspensions in his past that are not great, but he is one of the better relievers in baseball this year, and... you know, we heard the Billy Beane comment on this yesterday. I'm not sure if we can scrounge it up again, but on Susan Slusser's podcast, he sort of talked about what his trade deadline strategy might be, and specifically in the context of, are you after a starter or are you after a reliever? And what he kind of said was, in a market, and you know, obviously, you hedge all this sort of stuff when you're... the GM of a baseball team, but his basic comments reflected that when you have a trade market where you can't necessarily find a starter that you feel really improves your team, but you do feel you need pitching help, another way to look at it is if we've got some guys that can give us five good innings, we shorten the game from the other end. And that's what this deal would be. It's not replacing the closer, certainly. It's probably not even replacing the setup man, because we have no complaints about Trevino and Trinan. That's been the best tandem in baseball, basically. So you're just adding another inning. And if Familia is as good, assuming this deal gets done, which all the reports I saw around 8 or 9 last night were basically this is happening, barring some sort of snag, they just have to hammer out the details. If you get this guy... and he continues to pitch at this level, you're really looking at six-inning games for the A's. And the way they score in the late innings, to then be able to throw 396-plus guys in those last three innings is formidable.
Yeah, and you're bolstering more of your strengths. And actually, I really like this move because it doesn't put a lot of pressure. If you were to trade for a starter, as much as I want DeGrom, let's say it's a... not DeGrom. It's one of the lesser known guys.
Yeah,
we had some names. That's a lot of pressure, don't you think? To come in and be an anchor of a team, even if you're not an ace, and you have to come in and try to, I don't know, be a stalwart.
Well,
what are the names?
It's interesting because, as you say, that the only ace on the market really is DeGrom.
That's it.
And so any other guy you get would not be an ace, and yet they wouldn't necessarily. Not be the ace of the A's, because I love Manaea. I love Mangdon personally even more. I think Manaea has the potential to be an ace. He certainly hasn't established himself over the course of a long enough period of time to say, stamp him with the number one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, if you're going into a wild card playoff, Sean Manaea is your starter right now.
Agreed on that.
But that could potentially change for the rest of the year. And I guess to make the comparison, that cannot change on the other side of the bay. Because Madison Bumgarner is the ace, and if you're in that game, Madison Bumgarner is going to start it, provided he's healthy.
Exactly.
So the A's don't have that guy, and I think you're right. Bringing in another guy who's sort of at the same level of the dudes they have, which is where a lot of the names are, you know, in the Manaea Mangdon range, then I think, yeah, there is a lot of pressure on that guy to be someone who was worth acquiring.
Yes.
Especially if you give up a prospect that people have heard of. And by the way, just in my speaking of prospects, as I trolled Twitter last night for information about potential A's trades, Susan Slusser happened to retweet this tidbit from Jeff Hem, who I presume is the play-by-play broadcaster of wherever Jorge Mateo is playing. And here's the tweet. How fast is Jorge Mateo? He just tagged up and tied the game on a pop-up to the first baseman. Connor Joe caught the ball falling towards the stands, and Mateo scored standing up.
Wow.
So
wow.
So, yeah, if you're going to get... And there are descriptions like that about all the A's prospects. If you were listening to 95.7 The Game last night, and I... what I like to do is go out to a nice dinner with my family, take my aunt out for her birthday, and then return home and watch the game from, like, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., so I'm really exhausted when I show up at work the next day. But the other benefit of that is, using my MLB package, I get to sync the 95.7 audio with the picture, which was delightful because I love a good Korek and Cotroneo broadcast. And they told us about what Lizardo has been doing, too. Do you realize he hasn't given up a run in, like, 60 days?
Wow. 60 days?
He's 20 years old. I made that number up, but it's a long time.
I was going to say, that's Oral Hershiser.
No, it's
status.
Been almost 2 months since he gave up a run. I mean, he's a double A.
Doesn't matter.
But, yeah, and I'll pull up his starts, his stats as well. But, look, man, when these are what you're, when this is what your prospects are doing, this level of stuff, people start to get excited. And understandably so. So, if you're going to move off of a prospect... And look, it's not going to be Lizardo if you're trading for a reliever. If you're trading for Familia, you're not talking about trading your top pitching prospect. But there's plenty of guys in this system that A's fans have heard about and are excited to see. So if you're giving up some of your high-level prospects for some random starter, you're going to expect them to do a lot. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask because I haven't seen any names
right.
attached to the
Familia. So that's where I was going.
Okay.
Oh, to the Familia. I haven't either.
Did you see anything? Okay, you
no,
didn't see anything.
None of the reports I saw, they were all just A's are hot after Familia, expect a deal. I think the of all the Familia tweets I saw, Buster Olney's was the most recent, and it said something around 8:30 or 8:45 last night, something to the effect of, expect this deal to get done unless there's a snag. But it did not say a specific...
Such a tease.
Package. It did not say a specific package.
Such a tease,
Familia.
Buster Olney.
Yeah, I would try to find that, but the quantity of tweets that Buster Posey puts out... Here we go. 12 hours ago... Wait a second.
This is a
okay,
segment we
now,
call
now,
read my tweets.
Yeah, read Bust. Okay, here it is. 12 hours ago, Jerry's Familia headed to Oakland if the two sides can finish the deal. So that sounds like he's almost definitely... Because he also said, cross the Astros off of the list of that trade. Also, the Cubs, Red Sox, and Braves are out.
See, that's a good thing, though, because you're picking up someone that those other teams... desired, and you're not allowing your rivals or teams that you would potentially play in a one game playoff or leading down the stretch. Like that's a good thing.
Yes, definitely. And there's another Buster Olney tweet I want to get to later, but back to the other names on the market. from a starting pitching standpoint, because this was a Buster Olney article yesterday. I don't know why we decided to have this be the Buster Olney hour, but what are you going to do? And other than DeGrom, who, again, that guy is an ace. He's 30 years old. If I was the A's and I had a lineup performing at this level and the quantity of prospects they have, I would look really long and hard at giving up a significant haul to bring in a guy like DeGrom, who is immediately an ace at the top of your rotation. And quite honestly, who other than the Astros, the A's are pretty close to as good as anybody if they put an ace at the top of this rotation, I would say.
And he's under team control for the next couple of years.
And you have him till 2021.
So it's not a rental, you know?
That's right. So I would really consider, now, that also makes him more expensive.
That's fine.
But if I was an A's fan, I would really consider that. By the way, we have not heard from any Giants fans, but we did have an A's fan say, as an A's fan, I definitely don't want Samardzija starting against the Mariners.
Let me give you Samardzija's numbers.
No, we'll get back to him.
I want to focus on these names. I want to destroy this guy.
We'll get to Samardzija later. Nice text, by the way. 559 is just suggesting nicknames, all in the Familia. Familia matters. We can go a lot of directions with that.
Familia matters. That's good.
I automatically think of Rock. The Rock. La Familia.
La Familia?
Anyway, it's like a Jay-Z crew
collaboration.
Yeah,
the Dynasty album, bro. Come on.
Exactly. Okay. Well, I don't know what you know, so I thought maybe you figured I was talking Mac Dre or something.
He got Pharrell on there on that one song.
Okay.
I'm a hustler, baby. I just wanted you to know.
J.A. Hat.
I'm hood, dude. You just don't know.
Townie is hood. From the...
That was
the hot streets of San Diego.
East San Jose.
J.A. Hat. Now, I'm throwing names at you.
Uh-huh.
Your thoughts.
For the A's?
These are the names that are out there.
J.A. Happ doesn't do it for me.
Marco Estrada. 35 years old, making $13 million
with Kevin a 4.72. I like Kevin Estrada better than that. You know? Late night selling me land in Oregon. Chips.
Okay. Thank you. Nathan Eovaldi.
I actually like him.
He does throw hard.
Yeah, I like him.
He throws hard, but
what do you have to give up to get someone like that, and what's the ROI? What's the return on that?
Well, okay. Let's start with the fact that Nathan Eovaldi is 3-4 with a 4.26 ERA. He's had some really good starts lately. He throws the ball really hard. But on July 13th, he gave up 8 earned runs in 2 2/3 innings at the Twins. So my point is Nathan Eovaldi better than Frankie Montas for sure? Are you sure?
No, I'm not sure.
He's older.
Yes. It's a better name recognition as well.
Yeah, because he's been around.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
He's played a few major league seasons. He's
exactly.
got 140 some odd games played. And Montas has 10. But I'm not sure I'm getting an upgrade if I do that.
I agree with
here's,
that.
I wrote this down too. If we're looking at the A's rotation, all right, right now it's Manaea, Jackson, Cahill, Anderson, Montas. I'm assuming Daniel Mangdon replaces Anderson. So then you've got Manaea, Jackson, Mangdon, Cahill, Montas. So if I'm going to trade for a starting pitcher as the A's, I got to be darn certain that he's first of all, a significant upgrade over Montas or Cahill, whichever you consider the last guy in the rotation. And frankly, if I'm going to spend any real prospect value, I want him to be at least as good as Mangdon or Manaea. You know, I want a number two in this rotation because the only one is DeGrom, right? So if I'm going to spend real prospects, I want a two or at least a three, and I don't know that Nathan Eovaldi guarantees you that.
No, I agree with you.
Big game James Shields.
Oh, get out of here. I don't want him.
Not at all. Ugh. Lance Lynn.
Eh.
Not sure he's better. Let me read you some ERAs for Lance Lynn. April, 8.37. May, 3.76. June, 2.83. July, 7.82. So, a wildly inconsistent guy, except Lance Lynn is 31 years old and Frankie Montas is 26.
Yeah.
Give me Montas.
Yeah, I'd stand pat if it was on him.
Frankly, give me Cahill, right?
Agreed on that. I actually like Cahill.
Yeah, he's been fine. Well,
yeah.
He's been really good, actually.
Yeah,
but
I like Cahill. He's versatile.
All right, how about Matt Harvey?
See, now Matt Harvey... I like the risk reward on a Matt Harvey because I don't think he's going to cost you a whole lot.
That's the reason you might think about Harvey.
Yeah, and I know that he could touch brilliance. Here's the problem. Am I willing to roll the dice in this year to bring him into this team?
From a clubhouse perspective.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the only thing where I'm a little hesitant. But well, he's played nice in Cincinnati.
You would hope that getting banished to Cincinnati would have woken him up a little bit as a dude behind the scenes, because that seems to have been the problem in New York.
I agree with that.
Jake Odorizzi? Yeah. Francisco Liriano?
See, I like Liriano strictly because I love
34
lefties.
34 years old.
I know he's old.
With an ERA
cheap.
Of 4.67.
I know, but he's played for terrible Detroit.
Yeah. Now, another reason you might think about Liriano is you could put him in the bullpen, too.
Yes, a swing guy, kind of in that Petit role.
Uh-huh. But you have Petit.
I know, but he's a lefty, whereas okay. Petit's a righty. I
know,
hear you.
I know.
I'm always enamored by lefties who could throw that big breaker.
Liriano, at a time, was excellent. Zach Wheeler?
Yeah. No. Zach Wheeler, injury history, and he just doesn't have great stuff.
Mike Fiers?
Not really.
Tyson Ross?
Tyson Ross, strictly because he came here originally. And I liked him the first time. Big guy.
Doesn't get
a lot of run support in San Diego.
No. He's been up and down.
Really up and down. He's beaten the Giants.
Here's what's intriguing about Tyson Ross. What would you guess his salary is?
I don't know. $2 million?
Yeah. 1.75.
Okay. So yeah. Very affordable.
Very affordable. Archer?
I like Chris Archer, but he's not having a great year
I would say he's been bad.
Yeah, since the All-Star year, he's kind of slipped tremendously.
And he has team options for 2020 and 2021, $9 million and $11 million.
Yeah, I don't want to be on the hook for two more years.
Well, the team options, so presumably, but it's 7.7 next year for sure.
Yeah,
I don't know if you want to pay him that when you're the A's and you have to value your every dollar.
Plus, I don't know if I want to part with something. I feel like his value's so high that you're going to send a disproportionate prospect.
Right.
And the return isn't going to be there.
Ivan Nova.
No.
So that's 14 names I just read off.
Sounds like the staff they've thrown out there this year for
the
A's.
That was 13. The 14th is Kyle Gibson, who actually has been pretty good for the Twins.
Okay.
Again, you're talking about a 30-year-old guy whose history is as a mediocre pitcher. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure I want to replace. I mean, that's what Trevor Cahill is, right?
Yeah.
Except he's pitching really well right now. So if I can't find a guy who's got a better pedigree than Trevor Cahill or who's pitching better right now than Frankie Montas, I don't know why I would make that trade. And I think that's the problem for the A's and that's what Billy spoke to on Susan Slusser's podcast. Can you guys see if we can find that audio? Because I know we have a cut of it somewhere, of Billy talking to Susan Slusser on her podcast. I'll have to talk to them in the break when they're not busy having a conversation among themselves. But I think we're going to see more bullpen additions. Whether Familia comes through or not, I think that's what's happening here. Because I just don't think the starter you want is there.
I'm curious how the September call-ups are going to affect the A's roster. Like, would they have the guts to bring up Lizardo now?
I was thinking about that because of the stats we got from Vince and Ken yesterday.
I mean,
here's his.
Do you start? Would his clock
here's
start?
Here's his full season. 7-3 in 14 starts, a total of 68 2/3 innings. His ERA is 2.36. Now, it's double A.
That doesn't matter. That's still a good ERA.
Yeah. It's a very good
ERA.
Is
he walking, guys?
He is 10.6 Ks per nine, 2.1 walks per nine.
That's really good.
Half a home run.
5-1.
Per nine innings.
Yeah, that's really good ratios.
Yes.
Usually those numbers correlate regardless of status, double A, triple A, big leagues.
Yeah. And look, all of the sort of peripheral stats you want are right there on this guy. He's 20 years old.
Wow.
Turns 21 at the end of September.
He's a baby.
I think you got to think about it. I mean, I don't think he's coming up. If I had to bet will you see Jesus Luzardo this year? Actually, I would say if you do, it's bad news.
Yeah.
If you do, I think it's because they're not in it. But he has been as electric as a double A starter can be. Here's the details on that scoreless streak. It was a couple nights ago. He threw 5 innings of one-hit baseball, struck out 7, and ran his scoreless streak to 26 innings.
That's incredible.
So that's probably 26 5 starts, I'm guessing.
That's still incredible.
4 or 5 starts of scoreless baseball.
That's incredible.
I mean, you think about it, right?
Yeah.
He's the number 20 overall prospect, according to MLB.com. That's in the sport, not in the A's system. And boy, the numbers make you think he could be ready. Double A is a level where when you perform dominantly at Double A, a lot of guys are ready for Major League Baseball.
Well, I always like to throw that spot start in there down the stretch when the team hasn't had a chance to scout you and you're a young guy, you have a clear advantage. So in a very particular one game scenario, gotta have it game, say against Seattle, would you call him up?
That's a tough spot to put a kid in.
I know it is, but
I think if you were going to call him up, you'd want to do it in the next month.
You think so beforehand? Get him acclimated?
Well, I mean, the reason in my mind to call, assuming we're talking about a playoff team.
Yes.
I want him up now because I want to see if I think I can start him in the playoffs. I mean, I think ideally your top three going into the playoffs would be Luzardo, Manaea, and Mangdon. I think that would make A's fans and A's management the happiest.
Yeah, and you don't want to see Brett Anderson with a 6.11 ERA.
No, you don't.
There.
Frankly, you don't even want to see Cahill or Jackson. I mean, look, it's great that they've both pitched well, and particularly because it's allowed the A's to compete. Mm-hmm. If they hadn't gotten surprising contributions from starting pitchers they didn't expect to have this year, we wouldn't be having this conversation about a likely playoff team or potential playoff team. But those are not the guys you want making playoff starts if you do get there.
No. Tiger dropped a shot. He's 2 back off the lead. Kisner is now 7 under. But he's on the prowl. Tiger is on the prowl.
All he's got to do is be within 4 shots of the lead heading into Sunday. And people are going to watch. Everyone's going to be all excited.
Be in the last 3 groups. That's it. That's all I need.
Just be on TV when the tournament's ending. Exactly. That's really that's what you and golf need.
We call it don't get ejected from coverage.
I want to ask A's fans, though. Would you rather find a way to deal for a starter, or do you like the idea of just bolstering the bullpen and shortening the game from the other end? 888-957-9570. PenskeAutoSales.com text line is 95795. And also, do you think Jesus Luzardo should play for the 2018 Oakland A's? Matt Kolsky, Joe Shasky, 95.7 The Game.
95.7, your station for exclusive player interviews.
All right, earlier today I had a chance to sit down with DeMarcus Cousins, the newest Golden State Warrior. What's the best case scenario that happens for you and the Golden State Warriors this year?
Win another championship. That's what I signed up for. I mean, once I get back to me being who I am, that's not even a question.
The biggest names and the biggest games only on 95.7. The Game.
Get informed and be inspired. Curious? The only thing more interesting than what you've heard is what you haven't. Watch Scientology Network on DirecTV Channel 320 or go to Scientology.tv.
I was at Dolan's in Walnut Creek and I saw these Anderson big doors.
They are absolutely breathtaking.
It looks like you're outside when you're actually inside.
Really right. Big it's doors like with all the energy saving features of Anderson windows and doors are here. Patio doors up to 48 feet wide and 10 feet high and beyond. If you can dream it, Dolan's can help you create it. With Anderson, folding, multi-glide, pocketing, cornering, and much more. Building or remodeling, talk to the experts at Dolan's and visit DolanLumber.com. That's DolanLumber.com.
Oh, O'Reilly. Save on your next oil change with 5 quarts of Valvoline Max Life Motor Oil and a MicroGuard filter on sale now for the same price as Valvoline Conventional at $25.99. Extend the life of your vehicle and improve engine performance with Valvoline at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? How about joining us for the Press Box? Hi, this is Ken Dito along with Bev Roberts and Shooty Babbitt inviting you to check us out every Saturday morning at 11 on 95.7 The Game. We'll talk baseball, football, basketball, golf, and a whole lot more.
Nissan just made your choice for a new car an easier one than ever with their most exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. The choice is yours. Now get great offers across Nissan's full line. Shop at your local Nissan store today and choose Nissan.com.
Hey guys, no matter what anyone says, size does matter to us women. That's right. Size does matter. Why? Because every woman wants a guy that can satisfy her in the bedroom. Now, there's no more excuses with Noxetril, the remarkable all-natural pill that the adult film industry refers to as Viagra on steroids. Noxetril is the explosive, groundbreaking male enhancement formula that's science-shattering. It's packed with the highest quality, potent, and effective ingredients that go to work right away to increase blood flow fast. And best of all, no side effects like prescription meds. Call and find out how you can get your free supply today. One little pill, once a day. Your secret weapon that will transform your size and width and your sex life, guaranteed.
Call right now and get your free supply. Call 800-617-8133. That's 800-617-8133. It's like Viagra on steroids. Improve your sex life with your free supply. Call 800-617-8133. That's 1-800-617-8133.
Hi, it's Emil Bain, General Manager at Hanley's Davis Kia. You're invited to the summer event right now on all new Kia models. Go online at hanleysdaviskia.com to take part in the savings. Join us today. We're located in Davis, right off 80.
When was the last time you replaced your toothbrush? Do you always brush twice a day for a full 2 minutes? Paying attention to these good habits has a huge impact on your health. Introducing Quip. Spelled Q-U-I-P, the new electric toothbrush that helps to fix the brushing habits that most people get wrong. Quip does this with a lightweight and sleek design, simple timed vibrations, and guiding pulses to give you a perfect 2 minute clean. Bulkier electric brushes have awkward charging stands, modes you don't need, and cost 5 times as much. Quip starts at just $25, and you can get brush head refills automatically delivered on a dentist recommended 3 month schedule for only $5. And shipping's free. Quip's been featured in GQ, Oprah's O-List, and Time Magazine named it one of the best inventions of the year. Go to getquip.com/Gianna right now and get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/Gianna, spelled GETQUIP.com/Gianna.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Matt Kolsky, Joe Shasky, Ski Team on a Thursday morning, bright and early.
Above the Rim soundtrack playing in the background.
A's reportedly in the final stages, I guess. We're not sure, but it sounds like they are nearing a deal for Jurys Familia of the Mets. He's been the Mets closer when he hasn't been suspended the last couple of years. And he's been very, very, very good at it. Right now, let's see, 4-4 with 17 saves, 40 2/3 innings. He has 43 strikeouts and 14 walks. And his ERA is 2.88. That's very, very, very solid stuff. And that's makes a heck of a seventh inning guy if that's what you're getting him for. A 917 texter says, as a Mets fan, sad to see Familia go, but happy he's headed to Oakland. He's on the last year of his deal, so chances are they didn't have to give up much. I mean, certainly that is probably why they're in the reliever market right now instead of the starter market. Because as we just went through, there's really only one great starter out there. And anyone else the A's would look at, I'm not sure. Here's what I would say for sure. I don't think there's another guy out there that's a clear upgrade over one of the A's top three or four.
I think you're spot on with that assessment.
And that's how many guys pitch in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you might be able to upgrade your five starter, but are you going to do that at the cost of a prospect when you're not going to end up pitching that guy in the playoffs anyway?
Yeah.
I don't see it happening. At 559 texter on the same page, I'd steer clear of overpaying for another mediocre starter. A's might have a good shot to snag a pitcher off waivers later on. That's
like
true,
that.
Too.
I like that idea. And again, I'm just curious how the 40-man, how is that going to affect things, September 1st call-ups? Because that's when those rosters expand. And
that's the other question. Maybe you'd rather see Jesus Luzardo than any of these trade possibilities. Let's go to Fred in Oakland. What's up, Fred?
Hey, how's it going? I got to say, I agree with you guys, but I think it highly depends on how good the A's organization believes these prospects are that we have in our system, these starting pitchers like Buck, and there's a few other names that I hear thrown around. I honestly have no idea. I think the average casual fan has no idea. But are these guys twos and threes in the future? I don't know. How valuable is even a one? Like, even if we were even to trade for a solid number one, that gives you, a 70% chance of winning one every four games? Is that even good enough to upgrade? I don't think so. You know, I think we gotta rely on a solid rotation throughout. And if that's what these minor leaguers are going to give us next year or the year beyond, I think that's what we gotta rely on right now.
Yeah, and
that's part of the unknown, though.
It is. And, you know, Fred makes the point about even if you get a really good starter that's still only once every 4 or 5 days, but that's what a lot of these prospects are, too. So yeah. You know, that's how baseball works. But I'm with him that if you have this many guys that you think can come up and be valuable to you, maybe you don't need to sacrifice for an ace. If you think Lizardo's an ace and you think Puck has a chance to be an ace, you think Manaea has a chance to be an ace, well, then you got three potential aces hanging around right now. Maybe it's not worth giving up assets to bring in a Jacob DeGrom, especially since time-wise, DeGrom, although he's 30 and probably still has several good years ahead of him, he's definitely way ahead of the rest of the team on the development timeline.
Yeah, but there's just I feel like we loosely throw around the word ace. It's like number one wide receiver. He's a number one. Really, there's only so many aces, and really there's only so many number one wide receivers. And so, like, not every team has an ace. Right?
That's true.
Wouldn't you agree with that concept? So
I'm a White Sox fan. Of course I agree with that concept.
Okay. But there's this like obsession, like we you know, this kid could be an ace and this kid could be an ace. And like, that's where he did make a good point, Bob, that we don't know how Billy and the organization is assessing this particular crop of prospects that they have coming up. Again, you know, I haven't heard the word untradeable. Have you? In regards to any of these particular prospects?
I don't think the A's are in the habit of using that word.
And doesn't that speak to itself?
Yeah.
On many levels?
It does. It does. But also, I think we're hoping the A's are changing how they do things,
yes,
right?
Yes. And I also think that because they have the accelerated clock right now, doesn't that kind of, you know, you alters your plan on the fly. I think that they have to be, you know, spontaneous but realistic, and I think that's kind of the line they're trying to toe.
Yeah, and I still say if there was a better starting pitching market, we'd be having a different conversation. But we do have that audio from Billy Beane, correct? Let's hear from Billy talking about how the starter market affects the A's plans.
We think the reliever market may be better, and we might be getting more value. Maybe we attack this from the other side and try and shorten the game with what we have, because we think we're getting better acquisition, a better player for what we're giving up in the relief market. And there may be more options. And if you can get to August, you also have the expansion of rosters and kind of split the game up in much shorter segments, similar to what some of these teams are doing, the Tampas, and I think the Dodgers did a little bit last year. And I think to look at it in a very linear fashion and say, hey, we need a starter, this guy's available, what's it going to cost? I think you're probably going to find yourself in a competition that you don't want to overpay in. And so we're trying to take a more dynamic approach. That's the way I think we have to look at it, given the state of the starting pitching that is on the market.
That's exactly what we've been talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of starting pitching on the market that it's easy to look and say, hey, the A's have had to use 12 starters. They need more starting pitching. They need someone to be there consistently. That's all well and good. But if that guy's James Shields and he costs the same as a reliever of Jerry's Familia's abilities, I'd rather have the guy that I can get one or two good innings out of every couple days than the guy that I get six mediocre innings out of every 5 days.
I agree with that. I keep going back to this Mike Leake acquisition by the Giants. And
I know that one really scarred you.
It did.
I can tell.
Because when you overtrade, overspend for like a fourth starter, a three starter, because you're so desperate.
Adam Duvall hit like 35 homers the next year, didn't he?
I don't even care about the Duvall thing. It was the acquisition. Like, the guy didn't do anything for us, you know?
He was bad.
And he was exactly what we thought on the front end. Oh, he's a four-something ERA guy. He's going to eat some innings. Yeah, but they're crummy innings, you know? I'd rather see what some of these younger guys have or patchwork it with a Band-Aid from within. And I think that the A's have done a pretty darn good job. And then,
by the way, the A's still believe, even if those of us who have watched haven't loved it, the A's still believe in guys like Daniel Gossett and Chris Bassett. And there's a long list of guys who still have some legs as potential prospects.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not as excited about a Chris Bassett as I am about Jesus Luzardo, obviously, but if we're just talking about giving you mediocre innings, frankly, the A's have 12 or 13 guys that they've used to do that over the course of the year. Or I guess 11, minus Manaea. Almost everybody besides Manaea, and I guess Edwin Jackson, has turned in at least a few mediocre innings. And at best, you got a Mangdon who had a month where he was one of the best pitchers in baseball.
No doubt. Sorry, I've been distracted here. I apologize.
Everyone knows you're distracted.
Tiger just flew the burn, which is like the water canal, and took the bounce of God. I don't even know how. It should have went in the water, and it bounced into safe. That's a sign.
You say the bounce of God. I say the bounce of...
He's prowling. He's on the prowl.
I like that Tiger roar, because it's just a little too much.
Better than the Jaguar. Remember the old Jaguar noise? Or the saber cat noise?
Most of the things the Jaguars have done over time.
Oh, the helmets?
Yeah.
Has been bad. Thank you, Dino. Yes. So I think we're all on the same page, and most of the texts we've gotten from A's fans are the same. Some of them are simple, like no trades for starting pitchers.
Oh, yeah, that's my favorite.
But I think that's the right approach. And also, I think we should take Billy Beane at his word. He just told us.
Should we?
Well, to a degree.
Okay.
He just told us the starting pitching market is no good and the relief pitching market is good. I don't think he's lying there.
No.
Now, it doesn't mean that a trade for a start is impossible or that a trade for a reliever is guaranteed, although it does look like this Familia thing is probably going to go through. But the strategy makes a lot of sense to me because I just don't see the guy in a starter role that I'd really be willing to give anything up for.
Agreed.
Now, how, as a Giants fan, does that make you feel, given that the Giants don't have the lineup to protect average starting pitching?
What part of that? I'm sorry.
As a Giants fan, would you be interested in a pitcher? Would you be interested in a hitter? Where would you put him?
See, that's...
Do you feel like it's over?
No, I don't feel like it's over. It's... We're teetering. We're on the edge. And these next 2 weeks...
That was a big win last night.
Huge win. And these next 2 weeks are going to tell me everything. It's like I'm either making a full court push or I'm reeling everything back and I'm in sell mode. Seeing McCutchen play really well is a very big positive first sign. We've been waiting. He had a great June. The guy didn't have an extra base hit in July. That's not good, you know? And he's your starting number three hitter and right fielder. So I needed more output from him. I'm starting to see that. Buster had the hip injection. I know he hit a little flare last night for an RBI single, but it's executing with two outs has been this bugaboo for this franchise.
Yeah, it's not like Buster hitting flares is a new thing. But look, forget power.
No.
Buster Posey is still a great hitter.
Yeah, but he needs to be dropped in the order.
Yeah, he does, but it's the Giants.
I know.
And I mean, the number of times we've had to say that this year, I think if I was a Giants fan of your ilk, would drive me nuts.
Oh, it does drive me nuts.
Because that's what we say about Samardzija.
Huh.
yeah, he's the worst pitcher on the squad. He should not start again for the Giants ever, but he's going to because they're the Giants. Yeah, you'd like to have an outfield that made sense from the beginning of the year, but you had a veteran in Austin Jackson signed and a veteran in Gregor Blanco on the opening day roster because you're the Giants. And, man, the Samardzija thing, I don't know how you talk. I see this article, Jeff Samardzija eyeing return Wednesday, and I just don't. What are we talking about?
It makes you want to puke, Matt. Let me give you his numbers, and then I want you to respond from there. He's 1-5 this year. This is just this year. With a 6.25 ERA. He started 10 games. He's only gone 44 innings. So that's an average of 4 1/3, if you will, innings per start. That's ridiculous. He's getting up almost 50 hits.
Here's the other thing. This shoulder issue.
Oh, he's not hurt. He's hurt. He's just not effective.
And I'm going to read you the update, which comes from Alex Pavlovich, but that means the Giants are giving this update.
Yes.
Samardzija shoulder won't require surgery. He underwent an MRI on Sunday, but he doesn't appear to have a serious injury. Okay. Isn't that the same report we got in spring training?
It is.
And then he couldn't make his first start of the year. And then he came back and his shoulder hurt. And he went on the DL and they took an MRI and we got the same report. He doesn't have a serious injury. We don't need surgery. He'll be back in a couple weeks. And then he's hurt again. And it's the same report. And you're telling me you just put him right back in the rotation? A, he's clearly hurt. Your MRI, your negative MRI, you're missing something. I don't know what, but he's not healthy.
Same guy who approved the Melanson deal, probably.
He's not healthy. And beyond that, he's been healthy and not one of your best five starters.
No. And you've burned games. This is the part that makes me sick, is that every year, it comes down to a game or two for teams fighting for the wild card. All right? Every year. And you're just going to burn a game to showcase and stubbornly prove that Samardzija, you know, like justify the money that you spent on him. So the game the other day, they start him. He looks terrible. I'm yelling, yank him, yank him, yank him. They finally yank him. 4 runs too late. Derek Holland comes in, gives me good innings. And it's too late. We've lost that game. You just literally just mailed in that game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.